Well, here we are. Yes, sir. Another Saturday night. No, it's actually a Sunday night. I don't know where that Saturday night came from, but anyway, it's March 7th. Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's taped. Well, actually, there's no tape on my mouth right now. Health, Science, and Energy Show. As promised, we're going to continue on with where we left off last week and go into other things.
Go through that. That alone would keep me from being a Navy SEAL when I was younger and more vigorous than I am now. But in those days, of course, when I was a kid, they didn't have that kind of technology, but they have it now. And I've talked to SEALs, many SEALs, friends of mine are SEALs, and they say, you know, when you put that on, how many of you remember some magazines, scientific journals, where they had a mouse running around in an aquarium? You saw that. Yeah, he's running around in there. Yeah, that's the same thing. The mouse is liquid, breathing this liquid in his lungs. Well, in a zero-G suit for flying one of these vehicles, you not only do you wear this, you put this in your lungs, but you have a suit and your entire body's in it. And so your body is protected as well as your lungs from these huge accelerations. This was our early development at Area 51. Are most of you pretty familiar with Area 51 or not? Yeah, okay, because it's been a lot of publicity. In my book here, the government, one of my friends over in the government released this. I've got all the drawings explaining when this was released to the semi-classified public. It was actually 1987 at Norton Air Force Base, where three of these things were put on display, and our congressman and everybody got to see them in this hangar over there. This other slide back here is about alien implants. This was done in 1981 with Myrna Hansen, one of the first ladies that was implanted along with her daughter. She was abducted by these grays. A lot of radiology labs in the U.S., and I'm sure over here they exist too, get these what are called CAT scans. And this is looking down on the head. This is the third ventricle of the brain. This area right here, that white dot and that white dot right there are known as implants. And when these things are activated, they cause people to become very violent. One case of implant activation was in 1984 when a guy named Stephen Whitney, got up and started having voices in his head. And then he went up into a tower in Austin, Texas, in a school, and shot 14 people after previously killing his wife. He was one of our first serial killers that we ever had. From these shootings, our government stepped in and began to legislate automatic weapons out of our lives, semi-automatic, you know, carbines and, you know, think guns that are pretty much assault rifles. Then we had them shooting in a McDonald's up in Oregon. And every time we would bring the bodies in, we'd do, you know, scans on them. This was announced to the world. If CNN would have existed in that time, the whole world would have seen it. As it was, ABC made a movie out of this. And the whole, you know, everybody in the United States actually got to see what implants are all about. So this is a serious situation that goes on. And the government, of course, when these people react to what these implants do in their heads, then they start legislating away our constitutional freedoms. And I'm not going to cover every single slide. I became a contactee in 1971. Before that, all I'd ever seen with being in the Air Force were these blips on the scopes and sightings. But to actually be contacted by an extraterrestrial race, that was new to me. And that happened in 1971 by the Pleiadians. I didn't take any pictures in those days. I just started gathering information. Billy Myers over here in Switzerland was also a contactee, and he took some fabulous pictures, but unfortunately, he wasn't disseminating the knowledge he was getting, so his contacts ceased to exist. So a few years ago, the Pleiadians told me I could start taking pictures. This was only about 3 years ago. This was the first picture I ever took. It wasn't much by our standards of what Billy Myers did, but this was in Newport Beach when I photographed the moon through some pine trees in California, and there's this device on the side right here is a small ship that came into view, which is what's called a telemeter ship or a camera ship. Later on, I went into a group of contacts with a bunch of people from what are called Andromeda. Now, let's see how they focus this thing. This is a very hard... My pictures are a little strange, but right here is a ship. This was taken on the coast of California as it came in. It's right here. In the next shot, I got a better shot of it because it came up off the horizon. The Andromedan ships have a very high dome going up on the top of them. It was very hard to take pictures because the contacts in California are hard to have now, in Southern California, because originally in 71 when I was there, the population was very low. And then what happened is, the population increased to such a degree that these contacts began to cause problems with military operations and they just became too risky. The last one I did was with a Polaroid camera up on top of a mountain about a year ago. This is, I'm sitting in my car with a Polaroid camera, and this is a picture of the sun right off to the right, and there's the rear view mirror. And the next thing that happens is, you can see it up here, a ship that comes in right up here in the corner. The sun is over here. And the next one, the ship is right here, and the sun is over there. So this is in a fairly right below. This is up in a mountain area where there's some government installation. And it's a heavily populated area of Los Angeles down below where this was taking place. And then the next thing, I'll go back up there to have another contact. And this sign is up there on the road that I would go up. And this sign says, no cycling, no jogging. This will strictly be enforced. Right after I had two contacts from this hill, the sign went up and police were everywhere. And this exists today. If you were to go to Newport Beach, up this road, this is what you'd see. This big sign, road closed. And it was very much open when I was up there taking those pictures. As consciousness, as we go around the Pleiades and consciousness changes, people perceive it differently. Especially the press. Press is very interesting how they perceive things. You can perceive it this way in Time magazine, or we can perceive it this way as Los Angeles Times. So you begin to see how the perception is done. Which one, how do you see it? Czar deaths, miracles, or New Age of Angels? Same time, within a month, those two publications came out. And then, of course, many, many...
Well, that reached the bottom there, so what I'll do is I'll flip it. And you can hear some more of this. And some of it will be a repeat, and some of you... And then after that, we'll have something new. So this will be a little bit of a repeat of last week. But I want everybody to get the full impact. This is a really good program we've got here on this tape. It's one of the better ones I did. Once it cues itself up. Anyway.
This is what I studied.
There we go.
Of different things being introduced into the public around the world. And the different kinds of things and the effects that they had. I spent almost 20 years with a group in the United States called the National Health Federation, lecturing all over the United States. And we were the ones that legalized vitamins for the world. Now, I got into vitamin formulation about 25 years ago. And I formulate many, many different types of vitamins for many, many different countries. The way I really got, what really got my attention in vitamin formulation was studies we did at the University of Michigan at the end of World War II. In Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we had these 800 foot off the ground blasts, bomb blasts of these light, they were very light warheads to what we have today. Fact is, they were pretty bad, and they wiped out two big towns and a lot of innocent people. But we found that people that were up close to the radiation had very little radiation damage in many cases. And we found people 30 miles away, major effects of radiation. Now, why are people getting dosed to the max not having big long-term effects, and people far away getting these major effects. So we began to do studies on this, and what we found was that the people that were exposed to the radiation with small effects had large amounts of what are called electrolytes in their brain. Electrolytes, if you got a high level of electrolytes in your brain, it produces a high-frequency aura field around your body, which then negates things like ultraviolet. I mean, I've never worn sunglasses. If the sun is shining, I look right at that sun all day long. It doesn't affect me. You know, it shouldn't affect anyone. You don't need sunglasses. Ultraviolet shouldn't be a problem because you have aura offset. So in order to have electrolytes in your body, we said, well, how come these people had electrolytes? We found out they had large amounts of Fotai, Ginseng, and Gotu Kola. So I began to formulate with large amounts of Fotai, Ginseng, and Gotu Kola. Then the next thing that happened, we had a big discovery in America in 1929 in Utah. And I don't even in this country, back in the turn of the century, the big thing that killed in those days was arthritis. People didn't live much beyond 40 or 50 years old in those days. And I'm close to 60, and I haven't had any arthritis at all. In America, a farmer came down. He was a retired geologist in Utah, came down at the turn of this 1927, a serious case of arthritis. The Paiute Indians, who had a long, long lifespan, didn't get arthritis, took him down to a stream and said, drink out of this water. So he drank out of the water and all his arthritis went away. And he was fine. And usually after arthritis, you die. You actually don't die from arthritis. You die from the complication, as in AIDS, pneumonia. That's usually what kills you from arthritis, because your immune system is shot because it can't deal with the arthritic problem. So he drank from this water and was healed from it. So he went up the stream to figure out what it was. And he found the source of the stream was a spring. And in that spring, he found a thing called leonardite, which is decayed remains of about a 2,000-year-old rainforest. It's a red clay. And that became a national, in America, substance called trace minerals, which I'm sure you have over here. Trace minerals is a multi-billion-dollar industry in the world today, in America alone. I manufacture them and I formulate trace minerals. As a matter of fact, in my trace minerals, I put Fotai, Ginseng, and Gotu Kola. So then we made some further discoveries and we got really into the immune system. We began to understand that, as I said earlier, when you start to get sick, it's a crash of your immune system. Your immune system is consciousness. I mean, when you're laying there, you could be the greatest scientist, the greatest musician, the greatest poet, and you're laying there flat on your back with a fever of 133 degrees, you don't really care about poetry or science or music. You're into survival mode, baby, and getting the pain out of the body. Right? Because your consciousness, you're losing your consciousness because of your immune system crash. But most people don't understand how to stop this at the very outset. Now, I'll give you an example. If you start to come down with an itchy throat or something in your body that you know is going to cause you to become sick, and you go down to your local health food store or drugstore here, what's the first thing that normally people buy off the shelves to fight away this virus or bacterial infection? What's the vitamin C, right? Do you know that that's the worst thing you could put in your body when you're coming down with something? Did you know that? Scientific fact. You know why? Let's look at it. Your immune system is a consciousness, right? Okay, a virus coming in or a bacterium coming in is an RNA invader. It's a viral invader. What does that mean? That means that this invader is coming in and is stealing the DNA that tells your cells to make healthy liver cells, healthy skin cells, healthy lung cells. It's coming in and stealing that, and your body's saying, oh, that's cool. Let's go ahead and take that. You know, I'll go ahead and have a lung disease. You know, I'll have a heart problem. I'll have a major infection. So you go out and you get vitamin C. You're feeding the invader. You're not feeding the consciousness. The consciousness, you've got to go back and realize that your body is 5% minerals, and that 5% minerals controls 95% of your metabolic functions. So you need to put a trace mineral or a mineral in your body first and get the body under control. Get your consciousness back under your control and not to control the invading viral. And the worst offenders of this, the people that really get knocked out by this, are the people that take no nutritional products at all until they get sick, and they've heard because you know, they heard it on the radio, their friends take vitamin C. They run down to the health food store, and the first time this year they've had a vitamin, they jam their vitamin C, and they get sicker than anybody. And they say, man, this virus is going around so bad, I had it for 2 months. The sore throat wouldn't go away. When in fact, if they'd have gone down to the health food store and bought chromium picolinate and put that in their systems, they'd have reversed the problem. Because chromium picolinate starts building what are called helper T cells, white blood cells, immediately. Help white blood, you know what white blood cells do? They go out and they stop the invader. That's what white blood cells do. They kill all the stuff out of your body and bring your consciousness back. Do that for about 8 or 10 hours. Get your consciousness back, your immune system back on track, and then go take your vitamin A and your vitamin C. Okay? So we know now that Potai, Ginseng, and Gota Kola are very important. And we also know that chromium picolinate is very important. So, now looking in my perspective as a formulator of vitamins in many, many countries all over the world. Now let's look at that for a minute, okay? As most recently as a couple of years ago, I formulated for a company over here in Germany. Now, we have a thing called Food and Drug Administrations, FDAs, around the world. Each one of these nutrients that I've mentioned has a consciousness hooked to it. But unfortunately, the FDAs get together around the world as giant tentacles and deny each populace, by legality, vitally essential things they need in their nutritional diet. For example, if I want to formulate in Japan, I can use Fotai and Ginseng and Gota Kola for obvious reasons. They're herbs. There's no problem using those. If I come over here to England or Germany and try to formulate with those, they won't allow it. Okay? If I go to Japan and try to formulate with chromium picolinate, Japan won't allow it. If I go down to Taiwan or Singapore and try to put vitamin C, your body's supposed to have 5 grams of vitamin C, they won't allow me to put more than 56.8 milligrams in a capsule of vitamin C. Now, how many of those would you have to take to get 5 grams? A bottle a day so your stomach's burned out? I can take you, if I go to Canada, one thing I use in my vitamin formulas is lysine and arginine. Lysine and arginine are two amino acids that if you have them in your body and you breathe carbon monoxide from all these cars running down the streets, you won't get depressed and have to take Prozac. Okay? I go up to Canada, and I'm not allowed to bring protein powder up there because they'd rather sell Prozac. Okay? So where do you want to go? And what country do you want to talk about? And I'll tell you what they do. So you look at this world thing, this world grid, and you start to see a complete block of consciousness. Each country is deprived of something in nutrition that's really important for the overall functioning of normal consciousness. So I'm just giving you the perspective of someone that goes around the world and has most of his life and seeing all these different things that go on. Yeah. What? Why is this? Well, they have knowledge of it. There's a great group in our country called National Security Agencies, NSA. And they are the tentacles for some of the most powerful families on this planet, of which there's 25. And these families control. I mean, you've got a little bit of royalty here. You have no clue what some of these Bilderberg families and the Rothschild families can do. I've worked with these families. I know what it's all about. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just... Yeah, you start to understand. Yeah. Well, the Illuminati, yeah, that was the medieval time. I mean, the castles around here, the ones that are still surviving, have had family control for centuries, millenniums in some cases. You know, when the Rothschild family broke up a few years ago, it left $4.2 trillion bundles in private families. It left 12 families with $4.2 trillion, which was at that time the U.S. national debt. One family that I personally worked with was the Habsburg family. They probably own that church you see out the street here, and they probably own the one down here and about every cathedral in this town. The Habsburgs probably own it, as they do own 60% of all the cathedrals in Europe, including part of the Vatican. Margaret Habsburg, one person, has control of $4.2 trillion. Now let's look at Margaret. Margaret lives in Palm Springs, California. She's spending $1 billion to bring a European church and put it and erect it over in Palm Springs. She works directly with the CIA. Why does she work with the CIA? Because her old partner, her husband's partner, who died, she married this American guy, his partner was named James Anthony. How many of you remember the old Rambo movie? They had a laser sight. The first time you saw a laser sight on a handgun was the original Rambo movie. That was developed over at Los Alamos by my friend James Anthony, who was the partner of Margaret Habsburg's husband before he died. When they lived in Los Alamos in this huge estate out in the middle of the desert, they were guarded by the NSA because he was a high-level scientist and she was a wealthy woman from here. And they had four grays living on their compound. Four extraterrestrials living on their compound. Okay? You start to see the picture of where these people are coming from. This is fact. In my book, I explain where you can go to find out this knowledge. This is fact. Yeah, go ahead. I can't hear you. You've got to speak louder, sweetheart. Some of them do. The ones that I dealt with, I don't know if you heard what she said, but she wanted to know if they have a bad intention. The grays want to harvest people. In America, we have milk cartons with kids on them. We lose 50 to 100,000 children from about 3 years old to about 14 years old in America per year. That's what 0.01% of our population and children disappears off the face of the earth every year. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And a friend told me this couple of times that this is no longer a problem, that most of them have been shifted off the planet.
Oh, no. No, not at all. They just aren't landing and taking off. You go up to Dulce, New Mexico. I go up to Dulce, New Mexico and hang out with the Jicarilla Apaches. They're good friends of mine. I know the chiefs up there very well. They're kids. You know, the Indians are free. You know, they don't wear shoes in the summertime, and they run out and they drink their little alcohol and they run around in jeeps and stuff in the middle of nowhere and party out till 3 o'clock in the morning. They live pretty wild lives on their reservation. Not anymore, they don't. They only go out a certain time because the Indian teenagers get abducted by them aliens all the time up there. Go to Dulce, New Mexico. D-U-L-C-E, New Mexico. Next time you go on a hiatus, prove me wrong. Go right there. They own a Best Western Inn, a Holiday Inn kind of thing, right in town. You can stay right there in very great opulence for $30 a night and go out and have your own experience. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still here. They're not. Yeah. The low energy, the drugs.
If we're talking about a low level fear based vibration, and we start to invest ourselves in conspiracy theories, we're actually start to perpetuate a negative downward spiral, which in fact is any of this. This is what's really going on. Any negative downward fear based thought process or consciousness actually opens the doorway even wider.
It does.
It's not an answer to anything.
Exactly, it's not, but you got to know it's there. Well, I'll make a point if you give me the chance, but it takes time. But at least I'm getting your interest, aren't I? Huh? You're not falling asleep off your stool. That's good. Well, so anyway. Well, I tell you what, I'd love to take you up to Dulce some night, take you for a little walk up there.
I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying, let's look for a
solution. Oh, we got solutions, but this is only the...
Are you saying that all these negative rumors are coming from aliens?
No, not all of it. We've had our... You know, you got to go way into the core of religion to really understand it. But yeah, I've been talking about the negative side of it. But I tell you what, you think as positive as you want, the oxygen isn't getting replaced in the atmosphere. The radiation is not getting any less. We're not moving away from the possibility of an apocalypse. And we're not, you know, we're going in the wrong direction. So we better become aware. Until we become aware of what the problems are, we're not going to even begin to reach a solution.
That's what we are, human beings.
Yeah. So when I became a contactee of aliens, the ones that I worked with taught me all this stuff. This is back in the 70s. Now, I had a contact when I was 6 years old with a gray, but I didn't know what that was all about. I didn't like it at all. In that one contact, I learned to speak their language gutturally. I can actually speak their stupid language that they have, which is a bunch of squawks, but like a parrot. But I felt very uncomfortable with this, and I chose not to accept this gray. And in 71, when the Pleiadians came, you know, I'd been in the Air Force. I'd had some real crazy experiences in the Air Force, but I knew there was a higher solution. So the Pleiadians came to me in 71 and the Andromedans in 90. And during this time, they began to teach me. These are human-like beings, Aryans, some are Nordics, they call them. And they began to show us these different solutions to these kinds of problems. But having been a government employee for 20-some years of my life, I really knew how deep these problems went, and I was thankful that I'd had the education of the negative side of the force, as you might say. About 1980, they began to show me a series of solutions. The nuclear receptor, for example, came along. And they began to show me how to make your immune system basically bulletproof, which I will demonstrate here. You know, and I'm going to show you how this stuff works. But had they not shown me the bad side of it, I would have never appreciated the good side of it. I would just have taken the good side of it and turned a blind eye to it. And I would have been stabbed in the back, as I was in those days anyway. So, we start to teach in the beginning of the solutions. We have 7 levels of consciousness. 7 levels of consciousness. Now, how many of you in here can explain to me 7 levels of consciousness in any way, shape, or form? How many of you does that have a meaning to, other than with the words bouncing off deaf ears? You can explain it. How would you explain it? How would, give me one at a time. How would you explain 7 levels of consciousness? Okay, that's it. And give me another one. Yeah. Interdimensional. Multidimensional, okay. Vibrational frequency. What else? What would you say?
Well, 7 running through every, from the tiniest holographic part of the cell all to the greatest cosmic level, on the levels of the 7 mighty Elohim.
Okay.
I have
a reason. Yeah. Selfish. Okay. Let Illuminating my, yeah, what's yours?
Up the supramental.
Oh, good. See, we're getting there. Okay, here, let me cut through the chase. What's better than a good feeling? Can you name something? In these bodies, what's better than a good feeling? Feeling is consciousness, right? Feeling is consciousness. And there are different kinds of feelings. There are 7 kinds of feelings. In our body, we have, as you said, glandular, we have 7 endocrine glands. Why we have 7 endocrine glands? Because in the endocrine gland, we have hormones. The hormone is the consciousness. The hormone is part of a protein chain, which we're going to talk about in a minute. So we have 7 levels of consciousness, 7 different kinds of feelings. So we'll start at night. In order to relate to consciousness, I found from my own integrity, my understanding of what consciousness is, I had to experience each feeling as an individual thing in my body. Otherwise, I couldn't relate to it. It's not like words in bookshelves from metaphysical or occult books from Alice Bailey or from Madame Blavatsky. At night, you're sleeping and you're dreaming. In that dreaming, you're feeling experiences from past lives, from masters, from combinations of negative or positive events, which is the accumulation of other auras superimposed on yours. And basically, you're feeling that, and the feeling itself is the emotional plane, so we call the dream state the astral plane. That's a level of consciousness. We give it a color. It's almost violet. It's a dark blue. Lapis. We assign gemstones to it because our body is mineral, and minerals will stimulate in the presence of our body these different feelings. So, we're sleeping at night and we're on the astral plane. We have a note. The note for the astral plane would be F, key of F. Pythagorean's theorem. How does that work in our body? All of our consciousness comes in through four atoms. Oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, carbon. Carbon is a pyramid shape. It's the organizer. It produces scalar waves out of yin and yang forces. Oxygen is an animator. Oxygen animates the cell so that consciousness can express itself in it. Nitrogen reproduces a cell, makes protein or dynamite, depending on how you use it. And hydrogen, quantum mechanics, hydrogen is that consciousness. Hydrogen is the atom or the key that allows those seven different frequencies to enter into the realm of protein and oxygen animation. And carbon is the expression of the form. That's where it starts to come from. So now, if you're not like me with all this jet lag, the morning is coming up. And I'm not jet lagged from coming here. I'm jet lagged from going every which way in the last month you can name. But I'm getting over it. I recover pretty quick. The sun comes up in the morning. And all of a sudden, you're sound asleep. And you wake up. And poof, out goes that cool dream that you're having. And now you have to wake up. Okay, so we're switching from the sixth level of consciousness clear up to the logoic first level of consciousness, the will. The will to leave that dream state, to wake up, to open your eyes. The will to get yourself out of bed and go out and live in this wonderful environment we call Earth. That's the will. It's red. Musical note A. Its vitamin is A. Carrots feed that. The will. Is not the will a different feeling in your body than the dream state? The emotion of dreams? It's the will. So you get out of bed. There's two levels of consciousness now. Now you relate. Energy follows thoughts. Mind is a slayer of the real. Take all the Dalai Lama's comments over the years, and it makes perfect sense. So now you get out of bed. Let's say you got some kids or a dog or a nice parrot like I do, or a combination of all of the above. The kids are running up to your bed and they're, "Daddy, Mommy, wake up." So you're already up because your willpower got you up, hopefully. And you look down and you feel this love for this animal or this child. You feel love. You feel attraction. God, this is a good feeling. That's the heart. That's another level of consciousness. Another kind of feeling. It isn't like the dreams. It's not what caused you to wake up. It's what you're feeling towards another entity. You know? And that could be hate. You might be going through a divorce and you're looking at some divorce papers on the bed there that you've got to deal with later on at your attorney's office. So you got the other side of it. So now you're working in the heart. The will was up here in the pineal gland, in the heart down here, along with the immune system. Musical note B, blue. Then you start to think. The brain goes on. Female energy. The thought process is intellect. Okay? If you were to go into old mysticism, that's the Father, the Son, and the etmic is the Holy Ghost. The essence of all form, green, thought, intellect. You start to think. You didn't have to think in your dream state because you were dreaming. You were more or less observing and feeling. You didn't have to think to wake up because you woke up without thinking. As a matter of fact, you weren't thinking and you woke up. You started to think after you woke up. So now we're in a thyroid gland, the emerald in the gemstones, thinking process. So then you get out of bed. See, it's A, B, C, D, E, F, G. That's how it goes. I do a lot of music, too, which we'll get into later. Thank God I got 3 hours today. Normally, I only do 2 hours in these workshops so I can cover more. So now, you get out of bed, and your child, who you love so much, just stumbles and falls down and scrapes its knee. Well, you didn't love that. You didn't hate that. You didn't will it. You didn't, to make it happen. It just happened. And so you're looking at the kid. He's got a big skinned up knee, and you say, "Gosh, I remember when I was uncoordinated, a kid like that. I really feel sorry for this kid because he just skinned his knee." Compassion. Feeling for another as you feel for yourself. Solar plexus. This is a seat of power in the body. The adrenal glands, the liver, the kidneys, the digestion all works through there. So you see how the body works? These are levels of consciousness. Short circuit the hormone process. Short circuit the process that allows the proteins to accumulate in the body, short-circuit the environment, and these things go away. And a lot of people are heartless. A lot of people are mindless. A lot of people are thoughtless. A lot of people lack compassion. If we had compassion on this planet, this consciousness here, we'd have no war. It would be impossible to have war. But you get, these are levels of consciousness. And these are what you got to work on every day. Then you go into the next one. You know, you say, well, I normally go to work this way this morning. I shouldn't go that way. But you go, you don't listen to that little voice, and you go to work the way you've been going, and somebody sideswipes your car and wrecks your car. Boom. Intellect, you know, not intellect, but mental. Intuition. Intuitively, you got this vibe, you shouldn't do this today, in action across this planet, but you did it anyway, and you didn't listen to your intuitive self, and you got in a car wreck. Okay? Now, accidents only happen to people that kill and suppress their intuition. And we all do it a little bit every day. We can do it a major amount and go out and kill ourselves, or we can just, you know, be hammering away and not paying attention to what we're doing and hammer your thumb down real good with a hammer and putting a nail in the wall like I do all the time, you know. That's why I use an electric screwdriver now. Safer. My intuition told me don't use hammers. You know, use electric screwdrivers and the drywall screws. So, you start to see all the levels of consciousness. And of course, the last one, the bottom one down there, sex. Now, you can't say that sex is when your child falls down and you're not thinking about sex. When you're getting hit broadside in your car going to work, you're not thinking about sex. But when you're having sex, you're thinking about sex, a level of consciousness, procreation. So that's how the seven levels of consciousness work, when they work. But how many of you in here cannot think of, and I say cannot think of, someone that you know in your life is lacking some of this stuff? Huh? There's got to be somebody, and everybody in here that is here, that has a friend that lacks some of this stuff. It's not there, or it's barely there. Well, now you see the world. That's consciousness. There are seven levels of consciousness. So now all we got to do is keep them working, you know. And it goes beyond that. It goes way beyond that. You know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to run down to the restroom real quick, because I've been drinking water all day. And I want you to look at this and maybe copy this chart. And I'm going to explain it in about a second. Does anybody want to take a break? Because I'm pretty intense. We've gone an hour. If you guys want to take like a 5-minute break, go ahead. I don't want to be selfish. I'm just learning to give audiences breaks because I need to take them once in a while. Otherwise, I get a little overbearing. So we'll take a quick 5-minute break and then copy this chart. Yeah.
Why, if you were a scientist, you were scared of that scientific attitude. How did you learn to change?
You change it. I don't know about you, but I think it's
I changed a lot.
Dalai Lama or something?
Yeah, if you guys want to look at the book, go ahead. And get ready, we're going to rock and roll. We're just warming up. Yeah, that chart's in my book, too, by the way. See the book, it'll be in there. Page 76, I believe.
We already covered your lecture.
I've been lecturing since I was...
Everybody's taking a 2-minute break, so I don't know, this is probably a good time for you listeners to take a break too. Hopefully everybody will be checking our website out in the next day or two, because we're going to be putting up the new receptor series, which is called the Professional Series. These are designed to bridge the gap between the receptor and projectors themselves, and proved to be quite exciting, and you'll see them up on the website next week. Also, the Death of Ignorance has been restructured, reprinted, cleaned up, and so anyway, you can hear the background there. They're taking a break. This is this is the alter ego of Dr. Fred Bell. While they take their 2-minute break in the background, which is kind of cool, I think, you know, how the technology works. Here we are 10 years later, and 20 years probably, and we're taking a break simultaneously talking. It's like where the past meets the present, So anyway, we are having a great time today. And we're down here in Fallbrook, and the weather is cloudy. It doesn't look like it's going to rain, but it could. It's been a chilly year this year. But anyway, Dr. Bell, he's here. He's coming back now. He's been drinking a lot of water that day, and here he comes.
You should have turned it down a little bit.
Dr. Bell, would you please get back up there and talk to these people? Quit goofing.
And everybody gets to go to the bathroom.
No, not everybody. I didn't get to go. Why couldn't I go to the bathroom? I don't know. I drank coffee this morning because it's being recorded on Saturday morning, and I drank coffee. I didn't get to go to the bathroom. I have to stand here and hold the microphone while you go to the bathroom. And,
yeah, that's what it is.
That's not very good for the alter ego here.
That's exactly what it is.
I don't think it's good at all. And I'm a little disappointed that you had to go to the bathroom right in the middle of a speech. Why don't you just not drink water for a couple of months? Mm-hmm. Then you won't have to go.
The booth and there's two little bookstores. It'll be in the book people, I think.
Yeah, and there he's talking. And see, he's ignoring me. I'm standing up here.
Matter of fact, we introduced
taking his place, answering questions.
Before I even got here.
Doing all the stuff that I have to do because he's said he went to the bathroom, but he's standing right over there on the other side of the room talking. Dr. Bell, would you please come back up here and resume this lecture? There's lots of anxious people out here. I don't know what to do about this guy.
Yeah, it's all in the book. It covers nutrition.
He's talking about the book. I think he's talking about Death of Ignorance.
Nothing that goes into the book.
Yeah. You think you can get back up there now? I'm going to have to cover and fill in for you for a few more minutes.
Because we introduced the book in America, the original version of it was selling for up to $88. You know, it sells for $27, and I think it's even discounted here.
I'm talking about The Rage of Truth. That's a good book, too.
It took me 11 years to write
this
book.
We've got a lot of good books we've
written
here.
$250,000 American.
Amazing, isn't it?
Myself. I went into seclusion for some years to write this, to keep clear. I hate writing books.
I do, too, but I have to write them. I wrote another book after I made that statement. Can you believe that? And I'm thinking of another one now.
Yeah,
that
booth, number 79. Yeah,
it takes time to write a book. It really does. And especially my books are big old books.
The, cover up in here.
Hundreds and hundreds of pages of big old books in small print. Lots of drawings. That's how it goes. So anyhow, I'm gonna turn this back over to Dr.
Well, we have a tape series. It's got
there you go.
Order our tape series.
That sounds like he's gonna get serious now, finally, for once.
The tape series is a few years older. Okay, you're welcome. Yeah, it's in there. I was looking for it. Yeah. Talks about negative ion. There's a lot of stuff I just skipped over. I haven't even had a chance to sit down and look at this book. I edited it 7 or 8 times. Well, it's 481 pages. I don't know, when you write a book, it's really, you don't really write it once, you write it about 8 times. Well, I've been speaking publicly, but not to the intensity level that we're going now, because it's time, you know. I even went into politics. Can you believe that? I'm on a committee in Congress in the United States now. I'm working with senators and congressmen. There's no time to not get heavy with this with our governments. I'm right at the government level. I mean, I worked for the government. Now I'm part of it.
And
well, they like I've been doing radio shows on the schoolyard shooting, and they're in shock. But you don't get the coverage like we do over there on CNN. You got a kind of a different CNN than we have, and they're having to admit there's something to it now. They have no choice because this violence. You know, we have tremendous violence. I don't know what the violence over here is. You guys don't carry guns, but I mean. I don't know. You can go to a supermarket over there and get shot, you know, and your car taken away from you. And this not, it's very common. I think in America, 1 out of 4 women, 1 out of 4 females has been assaulted, and 1 out of 2 has been raped. No, 1 out of 2 has been assaulted, and 1 out of 4 has been raped, if you want some statistics. That says a lot for America, doesn't it? In other words, how many women are in here? Imagine that. Well, I wouldn't drink milk. I drink a little milk when I travel because it puts me to sleep. But normally I don't drink it at all. Well, it's not that. See, cows perpetuate radiation. They get it from the cows, bring it right through their stomachs, which are many of them. And milk is pretty much radioactive. All dairy products are. So you got to build your immune system. I don't see it over here as much, but if you walk into a supermarket in America, okay, you'll see these milk cartons, and you'll see vitamin A fortified, vitamin D fortified, calcium fortified. What that means is this. If you take a natural vitamin, a vitamin, by the way, when you define a vitamin is a unit of biochemistry that possesses light. We have seven different colors of light that feed those colors, those sounds, feed your system in your body, those levels of consciousness. If you start listening to horns down here and sirens, I haven't been spoken in this hall in 10 years. 10 years ago when I spoke in these very, very rooms, there weren't near as many sirens running up and down the streets around here in London. It's really picked up. It's screaming. It's like New York City over here now. That's what it reminds me of. You hear those sirens all day long, you get what's called sound pollution. Sound pollution destroys your body. If you study, going back into creation, form, matter, started with sound, Aum, the sacred word. And so you start looking at sound into your body. And the Pleiadians defined it real well. It destroys your DNA levels of reproducing. I have a tremendous bunch of, maybe I'll get up to the slides on sound. I've created four musical albums with different artists in America and one over here using Pleiadian sound from the spaceships integrated with sounds that are similar. When we work with sound to get to detox your body on a sound level, we put a sound in there that has certain kinds of timbres that raise consciousness. Timbre is the difference between a piano and a violin. Both playing middle C, sound entirely different. The original instruments that brought timbres of consciousness to this planet were brought here from the Pleiades by a group called the Rishis to the Brahmins in the sitar. And they call it the raga. When you hear a sitar play with a tabla, which is the beat, boom, with the beat, the beat, by the way, is a DNA reproduction frequency. It's a 32 and a 16 versus a 4 and a 4 and a 2 here in the normal music that we listen to. Removes these kinds of blockages. But unfortunately, people can't have somebody playing ragas in their house, so we were able to do these music tapes, and you can order them off of our number there. They're not that much. They're like $10, which is, 5 pounds, 6 pounds. We can send them over here, and you'll get to hear some of these sounds. The first music tape I did was a rock opera. It was 90 minutes long, where we took a Pleiadian ship and we recorded it down here in Switzerland with 16 different tape recorders. So that ship, we laced sound around it using synthesizers for 90 minutes, and it takes you on a whole journey out of your body. It's real interesting. So we got into sound. It's very important to get into sound. Now I'm going to jump into this chart now. Okay, real quick. I'm not going to dwell on it too much. Basically, we're 5% mineral, and we go into the enzymes. Now, when you assimilate through your enzymes, we're basically looking at the hydrogen atom. Okay, the pH factor is the hydrogen atom, potential hydrogen. If it's a pH scale goes from 1 to 14. If it's 1, it's an acid. If it's 14, it's an alkaline. Okay, the best pH for the body is around 8.2, somewhere in the... If you keep your, you can go to the drugstore and get litmus paper and put it on your tongue in the morning when you get up before you eat. And if you're running around 8.2 pH in your body, you won't get cancer. You won't get anything because your immune system is where it's supposed to be and you're centered. And that means that the hydrogen atom is bringing in the energy of the seven levels of consciousness on an even keel. Because the hydrogen atom is a proton and it's an electron relationship. And remember we talked about the first ray and the second ray and all the different rays coming in, the seven different levels of consciousness. Well, you could, from the color standpoint, looking at the hydrogen atom, we call ray 1 red and ray 7 violet. Okay? So we go from, and the center color is green. So in the morning, this is where jet lag comes in too, by the way. In the morning when you get up, your body is used to polarizing the will. The will drives this red energy down onto the hydrogen atom. Well, the proton of the hydrogen atom weighs 1,645 times more than the electron. Okay? So if there's an electrical charge of great intensity on the proton, that's every cell in your body. You're definitely going to wake up. You know, maybe if you're jet lagged out a little bit, you won't, because this polarity is not working right. But if you're centered in an area like here, then you're red here and you're violet over here. Then as the sun moves across the sky and sets at night, this changes from red to violet to red. So violet is over here on the proton at night, and the red is over here on the electron at night. Meaning the whole seven levels of consciousness is change expression through your body. That's why in the morning you have one set of thoughts when you get out of bed, and at night when you're hanging out in your house or going to a party or just walking down in the park or something, you have a complete different level of consciousness. You're a different being at night than you are in the morning. And at midday, at noon, you're somebody else. Well, we have to accept that. That's the beauty of consciousness. We are alive. We have to accept the fact that we change and not fight it. And so when you start looking at how do we accept it, well, there's three different basic things that go on in the body. You know, we have the food that we eat, okay, and things like that. So we have biochemistry. Okay, then we go up. We have an electrical body to deal with. And then we have what's called an electrical precursing body that we deal with. If we keep those three bodies straight, which are all physical parts of our physical body, in some kind of calibration, it's going to be a whole lot easier dealing with stress and all this negative stuff that we were talking about in the very beginning. As a matter of fact, you can start to become bulletproof. That's why when we got into electrical studies in medicine, we had negative ionization. Negative ionization, if you're breathing positive ions all day long, it's going to throw this part of your body, the electrical part, askew. Same with food. You want to keep foods going into your body. You know, it's fine to drink orange juice, which is acidic. It's also good to have alkaline foods in your body and some kind of a marriage that works for you to keep your pH factor right. And then you get to the final step is the electrical precursing body. And this is the secret of the aging process when you get to that. Because you're basically managing this energy, the sound, the light, the color of this hydrogen atom, because it is your consciousness. This is managed by a 24-hour period of time over your entire lifespan. For example, if you're someone that in a 24-hour period is under heavy stress all the time, office stress, sound stress, the electrical precursing levels of your body are going to fail. Your DNA is going to start despiraling, and you're going to age much faster than normal. You see people that are 50 years old, they look like they're 90. You see other people that are 50 years old like they're 25, depending on how the electrical precursing energies. And this goes into stress management and all these different kinds of things. What modern medicine tries to do on this level is come up with all kinds of mood-elevating drugs and MOA inhibitors to keep this electrical precursing level balanced. Doesn't work. You get side effects from drugs. I'm sorry, they don't work. Shall I introduce Intro Girl or not?
No, they can do without that.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. And I'll just tell you a little bit about Dr. Fred Bell before he gets going. He's an international inventor, and he's patented the nuclear receptor. He's the father of negative ionization.
Well, that about finishes her up for the day. We'll get you next week.